In recent years, the internet has become an increasingly important tool for accessing health information and is being used more frequently to promote public health. I'm Carmen Lave Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Dr. Vida Abidi and Dr. Raman Zand, authors of the manuscript Internet-Based Information Seeking Behaviour for Transient Ischemic Attack, which has been published in the International Journal of Stroke.
Hi, this is Raman Zand. I'm a faculty member in the Department of Neurology, University of Tennessee Health Science Center in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for this opportunity.
Hello, my name is Vida Abedi. I'm a faculty member at the Virginia Bioinformatics Institute at Virginia Tech.
You say in your article that in recent years the internet has emerged as an increasingly important tool for accessing health information and is being used more frequently to promote public health and improve public health policies. Can you give us some examples of that, please?
There is no question that access to the internet has been increasing over the years. These days it's kind of difficult to find someone who does not have access to the internet. A lot of people, they read about different diseases and health conditions over the internet. Let me refer to a survey done by California Healthcare Foundation a couple of years ago. And what they found was that 1/3 of Americans, they use internet for self-diagnosis and also to diagnose a health condition or illness of a family member or a friend. And more interesting is that only 1/3 of this group consulted a physician regarding the diagnosis that they found on the internet. They also found that almost 80% of caregivers have access to the internet and they look online for health information regarding their loved one or the one that they are taking care of. They also found that patients with chronic condition, they have less access to the internet, but when they use internet or when they have access to the internet, they usually use internet to obtain some information about their chronic condition, or they share their experience in the social media, or they try to learn from others' experience on social media. So these numbers tell us the importance of health information on the internet. And if we can understand this phenomenon and why, when, and where people go to find information regarding their health condition or overall health information, we can improve the public health as well as the individual health by putting the right information, the correct information, in the right place at the right time. And I think more studies need to be done to understand this behavior and all the associated factors.
Vida, what is the reported relationship between media coverage and internet searches?
We know, for instance, that health news coverage inspires additional information seeking, but the nature of this relationship is unclear. For example, we don't know if seeking information can lead to behavioral changes. We should hear, for example, that news about celebrities can influence the information-seeking behavior. What would be interesting to investigate is that does this sudden increase in information-seeking relate to incremental knowledge, and if this knowledge is based on reliable or unreliable sources.
Raman, is health information on the internet actually reliable, though?
I think this is a very good question, and it doesn't have a straightforward answer. One issue is the information per se, and the other issue is the interpretation of the information, which is a factor of someone's prior knowledge. But this is not difficult to find reliable information on the internet. The National Network on Libraries of Medicine has a simple guideline. They call it trust it or trash it. And it's basically answers to three questions. Who said that? Number two, when did they say that? And number three is how did they know? So I think by answering these three questions, someone can say if the information is reliable or not. Nevertheless, we have several health institutions that they provide health information, some of them in simple language on the internet. For example, Center for Disease and Control in the US, they have a website that provides a lot of health information. You can find information on Cleveland Clinic or Mayo Clinic. National Library of Medicine also has an online resource for patients that are looking for different health information. And I think there are so many other institutions in other countries that provide reliable health information to the population. At the same time, I would like to emphasize the role of physicians and health navigators in this process. I think we need to ask and to make sure that our patients, they have access to reliable information. At the same time, I think each institution has this responsibility to review and monitor its own online information time to time to make sure it's correct, it's up to date, and also to make sure that it stays reliable. We have to understand that this is a matter of personal and public safety and should be considered a priority.
So Vida, in your article, you said that we could possibly use this technology to build predictive as well as analytical models that could further our understanding of people's information-seeking behavior, disease propagation, and epidemics. What would this look like, and what would the overall benefits really be?
Data generated today are complex, multidimensional, noisy, and unstructured. They capture single cell measurement from within our body to sentiment that we express through our words, images we share on social media, and far beyond that. Understanding the needs and addressing the problem at many levels, from policy to medicine, requires first understanding the needs of the community at large and bridging the gap between this big data and actionable knowledge. And trying to understand and extract knowledge from this big data can be a daunting task. We need to first understand and then filter, summarize the data, and try to use it, for example, to predict social trends. For example, we showed here that the general trend of mini stroke is increasing, and also monitor and reduce the impact of disease propagation. This needs to be a coordinated effort, as many types of data can be integrated for modeling purposes. As an example, we are currently working on modeling the mucosal immune responses to pathogens at the Bioinformatics Institute. Specifically, we are building the first multi-scale model of the mucosal immune response that can span from molecules to tissue and from nanoseconds to lifespan of several years. And you can only imagine the possibilities. This multi-scale model can accelerate the process of hypothesis generation and knowledge discovery that are clinically and pharmacologically relevant. The hypotheses that can be generated using the multi-scale modeling approach can be non-intuitive, especially when the systems are complex, such as the immune system, cancer, clinical trials, epidemiology, and so on. These models will guide the experimentation toward most fruitful direction and therefore will save us time and money in the long run. But to achieve this goal, we are integrating multiple data sets as well as different technologies. But more importantly, we are working as a team. We have immunologists, biochemists, microbiologists, engineers, computer scientists, mathematicians, all functioning as an integrated unit with the mission of developing novel therapeutics at the Institute.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Dr. Vida Abidi and Dr. Raman Zand, authors of the article Internet-Based Information Seeking Behavior for Transient Ischemic Attack. The International Journal of Stroke is a flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. With your support, we can influence the burden of stroke globally. Please consider becoming a member.